You're tuned into Desperate, a podcast where two unwed women take a walk down Wisteria Lane to visit ABC's critically acclaimed show, Desperate Housewives. Retire your apron, kick off your heels, and sit back. Hit it, girls!
Hello, and welcome to Desperate. I'm Julia.
And I'm Jordan.
And this is a podcast where two unwed women take a walk down ABC's critically acclaimed show, Desperate Housewives. And today we're watching season 2, episode 5, titled They Ask Me Why I Believe in You. If you're watching along, you can watch along on Hulu or Amazon Prime through IMDb. I believe it's still free. I haven't checked. We typically watch on Hulu.
Yeah.
If you have to pay, I'm sorry. Steal your friend's account.
Yep.
Typically, the way this is going to work is that we're going to briefly touch on what happened prior so that you're not completely lost if you haven't been listening or watching.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to do a segment we call Desperate Deeds, which is our own desperate deeds usually, or somebody in pop culture or society, just something we deem desperate, and we talk about it just to get us warmed up for what the ladies are going to get into. And then we do our full-on recap. After that, we evaluate the episode on several different scales. So to get that kicked off, last episode, we were not impressed.
No. I gave it a 3.
Your face is fully saying, like, average, lukewarm. It's a lukewarm expression, you could say.
It wasn't bad. I just have a feeling we're not going to remember that episode.
Yeah. Yes.
Like, at least we remember the nanny episode, but this
Are
is
you
like...
ever, like, a, like, you ever meet somebody and you're like... I could never pick you out of a lineup, like, if I saw you again.
Hell no.
Like,
almost everyone I meet.
A lot of people. Yeah. I couldn't really pick you out of, like, if we're on SVU, like, we're fucked. Like, I could never identify you. Just so bland. Yeah, that episode is bland.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It needed some seasoning, something, like, a little spice.
Anything. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, last episode just... It was called something about daddy. My heart belongs to daddy is what it was called in America. It was called different things in different countries. And
yeah, they picked their focuses.
Yeah, it just didn't have anything to do with dads, really, except for two, like 1.5 storylines.
Except for the fact that fathers exist. That was about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it came out at a time when fathers existed. Mm-hmm. So. We can go through what happened with all the girls. Lynette was jealous of an imaginary friend and spent the whole episode trying to be better than that imaginary friend and, like, get rid of it for her son Parker. And that ends in her murdering the imaginary friend on accident.
Manslaughter,
there
I guess.
There was a murder committed.
Yeah.
And then at the end, she's, like, crying to Tom about it because she feels like a bad mother. So that was Lynette for you.
That was,
are you riveted?
Classic Lynette having like a complex about something. Like, oh man.
I know, it's riveting. Are you still there? A more spicy storyline, but still bland, was Susan, who commits the most despicable act above murdering an imaginary friend.
Yeah.
And she finds Zach, who her partner, boyfriend, I'm not going to say husband, they're not married yet. Her boyfriend has been tirelessly looking for his illegitimate son, Zach, who held Susan at gunpoint at the beginning of the season, end of season 1.
To be fair, he did that because he thought that, like, Mike had killed Paul.
His dad.
And was trying to figure out what the fuck was going on.
Yeah.
His whole life fell apart. You know, it's like, Zach's crazy, but also, like, I'd be fucking nuts, too, if, like, everyone was gaslighting me and my mom killed herself and, like...
Whoa. In defense of Zach.
Yeah. I'm going to defend Zach right here because, like, he... Like, if you really think about all the shit he's been through, his whole life's a lie. His dad, he thought was... still thinks is dead until...
His whole life is legitimately a lie. Yes. Like, down to his name.
So what does Susan do? She, like, ruins him some more. Fucking traumatizes him some more.
Yeah.
He's 16. Like, she could easily have just called a cop and had him put into a
Jordan is
center.
Not Team Susan.
No,
and
like,
she is slowly turning into Team Zach.
I guess for me, it's just like, Susan, he's underage. Like, you could have just called a rehab center and they would have taken him.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to go to bat for Zach. I'm with Gabby. Gabby said, like, he's crazy. And I'm like, yeah, Gabby, I'm with you.
But he's also, he can't be more than 15. I get that
he has issues. Like, I just don't care. I'm like, I get it. Like,
but Susan pretends to care. That's her problem.
Yeah, well, just Susan sends him away. She finds him. Mike's been tirelessly looking. She finds what Mike has been looking for, takes him out to lunch, and is like, we're going to get you home. There's something you need to know. Zach is obsessed with her daughter. There's something fucked up in his head, Jordan.
That part, yes.
But he's upset. But. Don't know buts. Let's just finish the storyline. Okay, I have to. You're like in defense of Zach. I'll argue this after. But he goes on about how Julie, his ex-girlfriend that made it, Susan's daughter, made it very clear that she did not want anything to do with his school shooter vibes. Yeah. He said before any of this, that he's like, I could off those kids. They were kids at a pool party. Yeah. So let's remember that. And he's like, Julie, does she still talk about me? I can make it up to her. He goes off on this tangent and Susan's like, whoa, I see the crazy. And she does this fucked up thing where she gives him money and sends him to Utah, points him in the direction of Utah. She's like, I think your dad might be in Utah. You should look for him. Yeah, that's what I wanted to tell you. Pays for the lunch, I assume, and leaves. So
I don't defend Zach's actions. All I'm going to say is he is literally a child. She could have had a cop just come get him.
Yeah, so is John Roland.
What do you mean?
I don't know. Like,
technically, John's not a child anymore.
John was a child. He was.
No, and they fucked him up too. Yeah. But for Zach, like, my issue is fine. Zach's evil, whatever. Why would you then give this kid who's actively threatening to stalk your daughter money? Like, Susan's an idiot for that one.
Yeah, I don't think she should have given
Zach
him.
Zach could just roll up to their house.
I don't know how much. I think she's a. I don't know how much she gave him. I don't think they gave a monetary amount.
I think if she had just called the police or brought him to Mike, Julie would be a lot safer than if him just being loose with enough money to travel.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm like, okay, Susan, like, your thought process doesn't even make sense.
Yeah, I'm not sure what was going on there. It was overall disappointing. But Susan did get our housewife of the week because her actions were motivated by her trying to protect her daughter.
Yeah, and that part.
So yes. She did win the housewife of the week last week, and her storyline was one of the more interesting ones. I know that you guys are sad to hear that if you are tuning in now.
Yeah.
It's not always like that. And if you want to talk about Gabby and Lynette.
Yes, so, or Gabby and Brie.
Yeah, because I already talked. Okay, I forgot. That's how forgettable it was. I forgot that I even recapped Lynette already.
Yeah, no, easy mistake. So Gabby, last episode, we see her show up at the prison and she accidentally incites a riot because all the prisoners fucking are like obsessed with her, like beauty. And when her lawyer is fucking rude to her, she, one of the guys, like, jabs him. And so it starts, like, this riot. And Carlos gets pissed at her. And he's like, now I don't have a lawyer, so what are we going to do? Because this lawyer was being rude to her about the fact that she wanted a conjugal visit. He was, like, sex-shaming her. And it was very, very bizarre. He was, like, very hostile towards her. And then she decides to go find a different lawyer. And she meets this guy named David Bradley, who is, the show tells us he's handsome. And
he is at one point. I said it. I said that he's hot in one scene.
There are a couple of scenes where I was like, sure. He just has like a very like, if Frankenstein was human look to me.
He has a very like square. Schmucky vibe. Yeah. Like
he's very QB, but
one big
like,
square.
Basically, he fucks with like half his clients. And so, of course, he's trying to get with Gabby. But she kind of like puts a stop to it, I guess, and convinces him or tries to convince him into being like Carlos's lawyer. And then he like finally agrees after a lot of like back and forth, like weird, like, I don't know. The tension was,
it was exhaustive. Like yeah. We didn't need that much banter.
No. And so she gets the conjugal visit and she and Carlos like fuck, I guess. And then they have like this talk about what's going to happen with them.
And they don't conclude anything. No. He's just like, it'll be different.
Yeah.
And then he's like, how do you like that lawyer?
Yeah, it was just very, very strange. And then yeah. That's pretty much it. I mean, Gabby, like, I think it left her, because, like, this lawyer guy basically keeps telling her, like, you're going to break up. It's not going to last. Like, how could it last? Like, you made a mistake, until he finds out she's pregnant. He's like, oh, you're trapped, blah, blah, blah. So I think, like, he definitely put some, like, doubt into Gabby's mind, but she's still gonna, like, trying to go through with
it. She seemed a little bit steadfast. I don't think that she was shook.
Cool, because at the end, like, after she talked to Carlos, she looked very, like, when she laid on his, like, on his chest for a second, and then they finally, like, initiate sex.
Yeah, she just looked worried. I think she knew that Carlos was gonna be jealous. Like, she didn't want to say what went down.
Yeah.
That's the vibe I got. Could be reading it all wrong.
But I don't know. Maybe I was. I kind of got the vibe because they were talking about, like, what their future looks like. He wasn't specific. He was just like, everything's going to be different. I'm going to create a good life for us. And she's kind of sitting there like, what does that fucking mean?
Yeah, I'd have the same, like, worry. I'd be like, my husband is incarcerated. I'm, like, begging for a conjugal visit because I think it's going to save my marriage. Yeah.
It's very weird.
So concerning.
And then last but definitely not least, Mrs. Van de Kamp. She and George were dating, I guess.
yeah. Took us by surprise.
Yeah. And Andrew makes it pretty fucking clear that he does not.
He's like not him. On this.
He's not on board.
He's not on it.
Yeah. And so he gets, like, kind of pissed off. And, like, basically he and George have, like, a pissing contest. Like, trying to see who can be more alpha.
He got my Mary because I think it's hilarious when he does this shit.
Yeah. And so Bree's like, well, I know what will solve it. A home-cooked meal. Which, like, Bree, when has that ever worked for you? But whatever.
It's literally every time she's had one, something bad happens.
Yeah, like, it's a nightmare.
It's incredible.
So then, like, at the dinner, Andrew's, like, making these comments to George about, like, have you ever been with a woman? And, like, kind of making him feel emasculated. Yeah. And then he tells George that, like, he heard Bree and Rex having sex, and he mimics the sound his mom makes when she climaxes.
Love it.
And she, like, eats this pie, and it, like, she makes the same sound, and it just, like, sets George off. So he screams that Andrew should go to his room and tries to get Bree to back him up. And Bree's like, fuck no, like, tell me why. And he, like, can't say it because it's, like, very awkward.
It's too much for him.
And so he just storms off. Then, like, the next day they're out on their plantation having brunch.
Their plantation.
That's how they're acting,
it
folks.
Is. We outlined exactly the situation last episode.
But basically they're having this weird brunch, like, in her yard.
Eating watermelon, drinking tea. It was very bizarre.
Very strange. And she basically tells, like, she breaks up with George, essentially. And George is like,
she gives good reason. She's just like, my husband died a month ago, and I need to focus on my kids. And we're like, yes, Bree.
Yeah, like, you should have been doing that from fucking moment
day one, hun.
So George, like, says he understands, but he kind of, like, starts asking her about Andrew, and he's like, what about Camp Hennessy? And she was like, well, that was a bit extreme. And he's like, yeah, but, like, he's acting crazy. And she's like, well, that last night, like, because someone at some point told her what Andrew said, because she does know at this point. I don't know if it was George or Andrew. They never really tell us. But she finds out what he had said. So she says to George, like, that was weird last night, but it's not, like, valid reason to ship him off to a fucking gay conversion camp. Like, I don't
again.
Know.
Yeah, again, for the second time.
And so she's like, but if he starts acting up, like, maybe I'd look into it. So George goes, ding, gets in a little
long game. Light bulb. He played the long game.
I mean, he's already murdered someone for her, so he has to stick it out at this point.
Yeah, we know he's the master at the long game.
What's crazy, though, is if he really wanted to, he could just, like, walk away from this and, like, get away with murder.
Oh, for sure. There's, like, an actual, in real life, like, low percentage of murders are actually caught. So if anyone's thinking about it, just letting you know the statistic.
Yeah. Like, you'll maybe get away with it.
You'll, like, likely get away with it.
So they go to this, like, Bree's out of swim meet for Andrew, and George shows up with a present, and he tries to kiss Bree, which Bree, like, resists, but that wasn't the point, folks. He was trying to trigger Andrew, and it worked.
It worked.
Andrew played right into his little hands and, like, jumps out of the pool and launches himself at George, at which point he beats him up, and then Bree, we don't see the scene where she actually says, you're going back, but we later see Andrew packing
his bags,
and he gets shipped away, so this is where I get frustrated with Bree, because it's like, she's getting manipulated like it's nothing. She's playing
she's
her like
a puppet.
A fiddle.
Yeah.
It's embarrassing.
Other than that, we didn't see Mrs. Applewhite. We got a brief scene of Edie harassing Susan, whatever. There was no movement anywhere else.
No.
So that was the episode, and we gave it pretty low marks within the 3 range. So yeah, just take that as you will. Maybe yeah. just listen to that episode once. And like, this one we're hoping will be better. But yeah. before we do that, we have some desperate deeds for you. I can jump in. Mine is rather light. It's not my own. Just an instructor at my gym that's like a friend of mine got let go. He was only there like one day a week. He wasn't really training people there. He's got a very successful business otherwise. He doesn't need the income. I'm sure it was nice to do that for an hour and like get the hourly rate or whatever. I don't know what they pay. I have no idea. Yeah. Either way, he didn't seem that upset. He messaged me about it and like, we'll still be friends. That's not the point. That's not desperate. Nothing desperate there happened. But the desperate part is that I showed up to his, when his normal class would be. And like, it was a new instructor, obviously. And I knew that. And like, this one chick was like freaking out about it. And then this other guy like texted me after class about it and was like, why is he fired? And I'm like, oh, I think he was like let go because the gym just had other like visions for themselves. Like it's a privately owned gym. They can, and we live in California. It's like, you can fire anybody for whatever reason.
Yeah.
And they're like, no. People don't get fired for like no reason. I'm worried for the other instructors. And I was like, yeah, I don't even know what I said. I was like, yeah, I don't think it was like a thing. And this dude, I kid you not, is like, I am going to launch an investigation into this. This is weird. And I'll let you know what I find. And I'm like,
I'd be all like, right. You're a weird weirdo.
Yeah, I was like, all right, I'm going to get on with my day. Like, I don't know. Yeah. I think it's a bit desperate, like, looking for something. Like, I don't know how much time you have on your hands. Like, am I sad he's not there? Yeah. But, like, launching an investigation, like, out of nowhere, like, it's a private business.
And, like, what? Maybe they just didn't like his class. Like, what is this conspiracy?
Desperate for something to do, I guess. I felt like it was a bit. I was like, I couldn't care less about this. Like,
yeah.
It sucks, I guess. I'll see him when I see him. Like, yeah, desperate. I'm sorry, that's desperate. If you're making shit up to look into like that, like, just find a different hobby.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm jaded. Maybe I sound like such a dick.
They're being a bit much.
Find a different hobby. Yeah. Anyways, what's yours?
Mine is short. It just happened today.
Oh, yeah. So, it was great, though. I witnessed it. It was bad. It was fucking awkward.
God. Okay, so I hate human interaction with strangers, and I got a real whopper today. But on my way over here to record this, I stopped in front of Julia's apartment because I needed her parking pass because in the great city of Los Angeles, parking is the most stressful
literally
thing.
Literally bananas.
On the planet. Yeah. I always tell people it's not the traffic, it's the parking that makes me most frustrated.
Yeah.
I'm like waiting outside her apartment for this parking pass and I have my window down because when Julia comes outside, she's going to hand it to me through the window. Pretty straightforward concept. So she's coming out and I have her on the phone and this guy is like in front of her, probably her roommate or not. Not roommate.
I've never seen that guy before.
Neighbor. Yeah. I don't know. And so he, he walks up to me with a purpose and I'm starting to get sweaty.
I was getting nervous too. I was like, what does he think he's doing? Yes.
And Julia's like behind him, like a few feet, like watching this unfold. And this man, I'm like trying to think of how to say like, stop what you're doing. I don't like what's happening. Like, I didn't even know what to say. This man just like straight up starts handing me his ID and like debit card. And I'm like, what the? And then I go, this isn't that. I'm not.
I didn't even know you said that. This isn't that. No, I didn't know.
And this guy looks at me and he realized what was happening. He's like, oh shit. He's like, I'm sorry. I was waiting for a delivery. And I'm like, it's cool, man.
We were all like,
all three of us were like,
mouth open. Like,
So yeah. As Julia said, this man was desperate for his delivery.
He was desperate for whatever was coming. I don't know if it was weed or what, but like,
this reminds me of a time when Julia and I started to get
thought of that. I thought of it right after. I was like, is that desperate of us?
Oh my god. So I feel like the general rule of thumb when you order food or an Uber or whatever is you walk up and you go, for Jordan or for Julia or for whoever, or you could say their name. Are you so and so?
Yeah. No.
This man did not do that. Well, there was a time apparently where Julia and I did not have that courtesy because we were with a group of people that ordered a van Uber.
Like a big ass Uber.
Yeah. And we like see this van with the doors open outside.
We didn't just like get in. Like we got all the way into the back. Like
we're crawling in our little, we were going out clubbing.
Like, we had our butts in the seat, yes, and we looked, and there was, like, nobody else in the car but the driver guy.
And the driver's not saying anything, which, to be fair, anything. As... Okay, maybe he just couldn't get the words out. Like, now that I'm thinking about what I said.
He looked like us. This isn't bad. Like, we were like, oh... Because, like, all of our friends were outside, like watching us do this. And I was like, fuck all of you. And, like...
Yeah, they did. No one stopped us.
No. But
not the driver, not the friends.
It was bad. But it was so uncomfortable.
And so we realized
I'll never forget.
Immediately jumped out. That was like the... We almost willingly got abducted.
Sex trafficked.
Like, you couldn't even say we were kidnapped because we just walked into
the van. A couple of drinks at us, but we weren't that drunk.
No, like, that was truly... Bad. That was probably like a moment. But that's what that just reminded me of. So folks, when you...
Ask.
Make sure. Double check those license plates.
It's just, you're a little bit desperate to get where you're going if you're not, like I'd say.
Yeah.
Or you're just too drunk. But yeah, that man, I'm wondering, maybe I'll meet him one day. I'll be like, oh, you tried to get in my friend's car.
You tried to give her all of your personal information. Yeah,
she could have stolen your identity.
Oh my God. What if I had just taken his shit and driven off?
That would have been
a bad day. And then as a joke, and then came back around and was like, skirt. Just kidding.
I'm yeah. yeah.
Keep wanting to say roommate, neighbor. You're all in the same building.
Yeah, they're basically roommate. I don't know. Like, oh my gosh, if it's the guy that lives above me, I have to just want to talk to him with some beef. Just like be a little bit quieter.
But. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that being said, we hope you're warmed up.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to go watch this episode. You can watch it too. And then we'll be right back to give you some hot takes. Yep. And before we do that, be sure that you're safe and buckle up.
Buckle up.
Susan helps an old friend in some financial trouble. Lynette becomes Nina's wingwoman every night of the week. Bree buries Rex for a second time, only after finding out he thought she murdered him. Gabby hires a new lawyer, but Carlos is not on board. The Applewhites' past is finally catching up with them. Paul Young has returned.
So this week we've made some improvements in our storylines, mm-hmm. you guys. So we Big hope time. That you were not disappointed in that.
Yeah.
We hope you found relief. We hope you felt rejoiced that more interesting things were happening than the forgettable episode we just endured on episode 4.
Yeah.
We feel like some of these characters got a little bit extra.
They did.
And I liked it. I like that they took it to that level.
Yeah, I'm cool with it.
Curious about where we're gonna head. I feel like I'm just along for the ride at this point. Like last season, I felt like I had questions, like targeted questions every episode.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, where is this person? What's happening? Where's the trunk? Like, what's gonna go on? And like this episode, I'm like, man, anything could happen. And I don't know what I should be asking, but we don't have many mysteries going on besides the Applewhites.
And yeah.
Yeah. Because, like, this Bree... Oh, I guess, will George be found out? Those are the two biggest.
Yeah,
like,
will George be caught for murder?
Yeah, but it's not looking like it. But we'll get to that.
Mm-hmm.
But we start off with Lynette at her job.
Yep.
Because she's no longer a stay-at-home mom. Let's not forget. They won't let us forget.
They will never let us forget.
And since the first day, it had been clear that Nina was a bit tense. And Nina is her very uptight boss that we've known would have a storyline somewhere come along. More mm-hmm. than she has. So here it is. I was like, when I saw that, I was like, yes. So we're getting into Nina. Finally. And I want to know. Nina was tense and to help relieve the tension, she kept giving her gifts. Lynette did a wave machine, candles, meditative chi balls, I guess, whatever those are. And very 2005.
Yeah.
And like nothing eased her tension. And if a coworker was giving me all these gifts, I'd have a problem with them.
Yeah.
I'd be like, you clearly think something about me and you're giving me these very targeted gifts.
Extremely targeted.
It's like a little bit offensive. And it would have just, and then it would have, you know, proved my uptightness by having this freak out on this coworker.
Yeah.
Like, why are you giving me all these fucking gifts? So she freaks out. Okay, Nina, then they're in the creative presentation and like Nina freaks out and she tears up the ad that they presented to her. Lynette's just had it. And so she's like, I'm going to take her out for a relaxation method that I haven't tried yet. And they go out for drinks. And Nina calls it. She's like, are you trying to get me all liquored up to, like, buy your revised presentation thing or whatever? Then she, like, goes on a monologue. She's like, I can't remember the last time I was in a bar. Probably when I had a boyfriend, which was too long. Like, I'm a nun. Like, it was just a lot. And I was like, okay, we get it. Like, setting the scene is set.
Yeah.
And then Lynette's just hyping her up like a good person would do. Like, if I didn't even know a chick and she was, like, feeling that way, depends on my mood. But, mm-hmm. like, I'd be like, yeah, like, go get him. Like, like, whatever, you're out here now. You know, let's have fun. Whatever, whoop-de-woo. And then Lynette does exactly that. She's like, why don't you go get in the game? Like, go meet a man. And she's like, I'm shy. And I'm like, ugh, this girl kind of sucks.
Yeah.
Lynette points out a guy that's been checking her out. He's cute. Go over there. Do it. And Nina's like, no. And Lynette just, like, handles the situation, which we knew Lynette would do. Like, mm-hmm. I had – the way this went down, I'm like, this is what Lynette would do.
Yeah.
Like, I had no – I wasn't like, that's out of character. I'm like, accurate. Like, she would just go fucking do it. She handles it. The next morning, Nina comes in, and it's clearly coming in from the night out, wearing the same exact outfit. Like, probably – I smelled her through the screen. I was like, oh, my God, you smell like vodka. She tells Lynette that she killed the vodka pit, like, whatever, the pitch that they were working on, which is 180 from yesterday. And Lynette is like, aren't those the clothes from last night? And mm-hmm. Nina's like, yep, like, wink, wink. And I'm like, ugh, like, stop. That's a bit trashy. Came about in an unexpected way, but Nina's tension had been released, so she just needed to get laid, I guess.
Yeah.
And Meryl Young says it was relieved the old-fashioned way. And I personally don't like that school of thought that, like, women need to get laid to be, like, nice.
Yeah.
Like, I've heard that in the workplace. I'm only saying, like, I've heard this from multiple people throughout my life, and I've definitely heard it in the workplace, and I think it's, like, a very, like, fucked up thing to say.
It's super fucked up. It's, like, people saying, it's, like, the equivalent to me of being, like, oh, are you in your period?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, those are exactly the same. Those feel the same. They're in the same realm. Like, it's not okay, and I'm, like, okay, it was 2005. I guess that's, like, an age-old. Like, can we just kill it, though? Like, can it not be age-old? Can we stop, yeah. like, fucking talking about that? Like, I think it's annoying. So, that's just me personally. No, so I was not happy when I saw that in here. I was like, oh, so Nina just needed to get laid. That's what you're saying. Okay.
Yeah.
And then we have our little intro, and Mary Alice Young cuts back in. She says, everyone in this world needs someone to depend on, be it a faithful companion, a trusted confidant, or a loyal friend. And for Susan, that dependable someone was Lonnie Moon. And I love this. It's the guy from Princess Bride.
Mm-hmm.
He helped promote her first children's book. He helped her to the hospital when Julie was born. And I'm like, where was Carl?
Yeah, never there.
Yeah. Lonnie took Susan's mind off her painful divorce with a fun vacation, which I find a little bit much.
It's like Sex in the City movie.
Yeah, they go on a vacation.
They go to the same place they go
on. Oh, yeah. They're on a camel or somewhere. I just thought it was weird to take a friend on a vacation like that. So Lonnie was Susan's rock, but that rock was about to crumble. And he, like, comes to Susan's door. I thought he was going to fire her personally, but they go out for drinks.
Mm-hmm.
And over drinks, he tells her something much worse, that he embezzled money.
Yeah.
And he's like, why do... Well, he says that he moved money around, and Susan's like, embezzlement? And he's like, why do people keep using that term?
He gets, like, super hostile.
And she's like, who else is using that? And she's like, the forensic accountant and the lawyers, and, like, it's a big deal. Like, mm-hmm. he's totally fired. But he's coming out on top. He wants to start his own agency, and he wants Susan to come with him, and that's, like, why he's there that day. And Susan,
and he denies that he ever stole her money, which is kind of like her green flag, I guess.
Yeah,
that he's like, okay. She's like, oh, he only stole other people's money.
Yeah, basically he embezzled the money. He asked her to be in business. Susan, I think, is dumb because at first she's like, I don't know. And then she's like, you know what? You've been a good friend. So, yeah. And I'm like, if somebody told me that they were embezzling money and asked me to invest with them,
run.
I would be like, I gotta go. Yeah. I'm sorry. I can't. Good, best of luck.
Yeah.
That's pretty much, like, the end of the opening.
Yeah.
So we can just roll right into Susan.
Yeah. her storyline, it's weird because I didn't think I would like this one as much, but I did. I actually kind of like this, like, Lonnie interloper character. But basically, as Julia said, she decides, like, to remain loyal to him for a while, or at first, because she, like, he has always been there for her. But, like, we cut to a later scene where she's, like, with Mike and Julie. And Mike is, like...
the voice of reason.
Yeah, he's like, no, Susan, like, he committed, like, a pretty serious felony. Like, this is kind of crazy. And she loves to play this card, but she's like, raise your hand if you haven't had a felony.
Oh, my God, it was so uncalled for. Yeah. It was fucked up. And I'm like, Julie needs to be raising her hand.
Well, it was just like, Susan, you know what his felony was comparative. Like, there's no good reason for embezzlement. Like, yeah. Whereas stopping, like, a rape, like, come on, Susan. Like, I don't know. I was just like, that was, like, a low blow.
It's a bit different when it's, like, philandering with somebody's money. Yeah. Like,
he also, like, Mike, like, makes a comment that he's like, I just don't trust, like, I don't forgive people, basically, is kind of, like, his shtick.
Yeah, and Susan's like, is it just one and done then? Like, one chance? Oh, I didn't know you were so cynical. Like, it was just so annoying. I know. Like, okay.
So she's, like, super nervous because, as we said earlier, she sent Zach away. And is terrified now if he finds out. So, and Julie, like, notices that her mom is, like, sweaty and nervous, like a little chihuahua. And she's like, what's going on? And Susan's like, she kind of tells her what happens, but doesn't give her all the details. And she's like, I'm terrified Mike's going to find out. And Julie, I liked this part where Julie's like, I don't know what, like, why you did it, but I'm going to assume it had to do with me. And, like, is thankful, I guess, that her mom's so protective. But, which I like, I thought that was a cute Susan Julie moment. So then Susan goes and, like, she goes to Lonnie's house, I guess, and she notices that, like,
there's not, it's, like, literally in shambles.
Yeah, like, there's no furniture, and then she finds out that, like, the lights are off, and she's like, where the fuck is your family? And he's like, oh, they're all up visiting their grandma, like, I'll be joining them later.
Yeah, he, like, plays it off, but you could tell that it's all fucked.
Yeah, and so finally, like, she gets him to crack, and he's like, okay, yeah, my family left me, and I'm broke, and trying to pay all these people back, and it's a disaster. And he tries to, like, take the contract from her, and that's kind of what, like, causes the crack. So yeah. They're sitting on the floor talking, and
well, they get in an argument first.
Well, they do, but that's...
Oh, my God, she is on top of him. He tries to steal the contract. Right. Okay, yeah, you're like, oh, yeah, then they're just talking. I'm like, crazy.
I mixed that part up with what happens when he tries to, like...
Yeah, so, like, he's, like, come with, like, he tells her how bad things are.
Yeah.
I think at first, does he tell her before or after?
He doesn't tell her until after.
Well, she calls out. She's like, the lights aren't turning on. And she's like, how bad is it? Mm-hmm. And he's like, it's pretty bad when you have to pay everybody back at once. And she's like, you know, and she's like, did you steal money from me? And he's like,
no. He says no.
And then then he changes it. And he's like, okay, yes, I did. And then she's like, I can't join you. And then she has the contract next to his hand. And he, like, tries to take it. And that's when they get in. Like, yeah. She's literally straddling him.
Yeah. So, but then they're just, like, chilling after it. Like, cuts to them, like, sitting on the ground. And he, like, comes clean to her about everything. He tells her, she tells him, like, I can't trust you, but, like, you'll always be my friend. Like, I care about you. And then he tries to kiss her.
You're my Lonnie is what she says. And he says, you're my Susie. And then he's like, there's always been something magnetic between us. And she's like, no. And she runs away. And I'm like, oh, I feel it.
But, like, classic, like, creepy old dude being a quote unquote kind of like father figure. Just like
never trust fucking it. Tables. Never trust it.
No, that was
always
awful.
Weird. Ulterior motives. Like,
that made me sad for Susan.
It makes me sad because they did have like 20 years. I thought it was sketch when in the beginning she was like, he even took her on a vacation after her divorce. I'm like, that's weird. Your fucking older father figure friend is taking you on a vacation to Mexico or Egypt or something, wherever. What an L for Susan.
God, Susan's taking L's left and right.
It wasn't as bad as her other storylines, but she was still extremely unbearable when she was like giving Mike a hard time. And then she says, well, it's only because you heard him. Like, he only gives people one chance and I'm feeling guilt. It's like so annoying.
But this is where I say, like, I don't have a problem with her sending Zach away if that's like what she's doing, but she's also like keeping this horrible secret from her and then sad boyfriend.
Telling Julie and putting the burden on her to be like, to be keeping a secret as well. It's just fucking annoying.
Yeah.
I mean, I hope Lonnie returns. Maybe not, but he has an interesting one. Didn't he also, maybe I'm confused, did he also hook up with Macy Gibbons? Was he an extra in that? No, maybe not. That was some other dude.
No, Wallace Shawn is
that
like
was
famous
even Steven's dad.
Yeah.
I'm like, there was some other dude. Yeah. Okay. Well, we can talk about Gabby now. Because with Gabby, we're just still talking about that maybe hot lawyer.
It's not a pretty straightforward storyline, honestly.
Yeah, it's just some more back and forth. Mm-hmm. It's some more banter about whether he's going to take the case or not. It's like, what will Gabby do? And Carlos is jealous. And then there's a scene where they have group therapy, which is the most fun that I've had in a while on this show.
But that was, so before that, it's not that it's like, will they, won't they? Carlos just like straight up says, no, this guy's not my lawyer.
And yeah, but it's like a will they, won't they with Gabby because she's like trying to convince him. Mm-hmm. Like Gabby wants it. Carlos doesn't. The lawyer comes over at some point and they're like discussing it. There's just a lot of like back and forth between these three people about what's going to happen. And it culminates in a scene in a group therapy, which I loved. So it starts with Gabby showing up at jail per usual. And she's showing the ultrasound to him. And he, like, can't read it. And I'm like, neither can I. She's trying to sell the lawyer to him. And she's, like, saying all these things. He, like, made the conjugal visit happen, and then David comes in, David the lawyer, and they meet, and Carlos takes one look at him and is like quaking, and he's like, nah, this guy will not be my lawyer, and like gets up and leaves. And I was like, all right, so obvious. And then at the prison counseling group, a reverend is running it, of course. I noted, I'm like, of course they're the reverend, like every other episode just doing something.
Yeah,
so like this religious plug never ends. So Gabby does not look pregnant here. She's rocking an Ariana Grande look with the high pony, long hair extensions. It's really working for her. She looks tiny still.
Yeah.
And I'm like, if I get pregnant, will I look like that? They're talking about how to use incarceration to their benefit. And this couple that is in an abusive relationship is talking about it to start off. And then they're like, Carlos and Gabby, you're up. And Carlos is like, we're good.
Gabby like shoves his hand off
of her. Yeah. And the reverend's like, no, we need to talk. And he's like, how's the marriage? And she's like, shaky at best. He fired the lawyer. And Carlos is like, I didn't like him. And you shouldn't, like, you need to find one that's not so appealing, because she's like listing everything about him. Mm-hmm. And she's like, oh, so you're jealous. And he's like, you cheated on me. And the guy who like abuses his wife is like, oh my God. And like gasps. And Gabby is out of her blood. I loved it.
Yeah.
She was like, shut up. You like beat your wife.
Yeah.
And his wife is like, don't talk to him that way. And she's like, shut up or I'll backhand you too. And I'm like, Gabby is coming for them. I'm like, yes, Gabby. She got so ratchet. I loved it. And then of all the lawyers, you had to choose him. And Gabby is fed up and is like, you can just rot in here. I don't even give a fuck anymore. And then the reverend tries to move on, but Gabby is like, you couldn't even tell what he looked like. He's wearing a suit. They keep going. And then there's this other couple that chimes in, and they, like, make a quip about homosexuality. So you can look it up on the episode. It wasn't that witty.
No.
Yeah.
It was very, like, bottom-of-the-barrel humor.
It was so bad. I'm not even going to repeat it. So after that, David, the hot lawyer, comes over and he's like, you left a message. And Gabby's like, I thought we could just like schedule an appointment. You don't have to come to my house. I'm doing yoga.
Yeah.
And he like enters their house, like Breaking and Entering right again.
Mm-hmm.
Not the season of Breaking and Entering, but it's still here, you guys.
Part two, baby.
So he walks right in and then he helps himself to wine. And as they're talking, he's like, do you have a bottle opener? And she's like, I'm not, like, also she's pregnant. He knows she's pregnant.
She drank wine in the last episode.
Did she?
Yes, with the girls. She was drinking wine with them.
Oh, shit. Maybe it was apple cider, whatever.
Maybe they fucking forgot she was pregnant, too. I'm telling you that I forget because they do not even try.
Yeah. So she's like, no wine for me. She doesn't say because she's pregnant, but she is. So she's like, I don't want a new lawyer. I want you. But he's threatened by you. And he's like, what's he threatened by? And she's like, if we spend too much time together, that something's going to happen. He's like, what an active imagination. He's like, well, give him a reason not to be threatened. And I'm like, doesn't this dude have an assistant that can, like, help him out? That it doesn't have to be him.
No, he's, like, obsessed with Gabby.
Yeah, so I'm past the point where I have to beg to work, is what he said. And she's like, we're going to, like, go. Like, they agree that they're going to go and talk to Carlos. So they do that tomorrow. And she's like, well, what are you going to say? And he's like, I'll play it by ear. Then they go to visit Carlos, and his playing it by ear is telling Carlos about how he's going to steal his wife away from him.
And if they don't hire him.
Yeah. At the end of it, he's like, I'm going to take her to a chateau in Europe and, like, fuck her. And then we're going to ski. And then, like, it's going to be this thing. And, like, he goes into, like, grotesque detail.
Gabby's sitting there with her jaw on the
ground. Gabby tries to make a joke out of it. She's like, he's just fucking kidding.
She starts, like, laughing. That part was funny when she starts fake laughing after. She's like, I don't know, Eva Longoria's fake laugh was pretty funny.
Gabby, like, killed it this episode.
Yeah, that was funny. That
she
was really funny.
Was my queen. And, like, he's like, no, I'm not joking, and this is what's gonna happen if you don't hire me. And then, like, Carlos is like, all right, hire him.
Carlos just, like, fucking leans into it, I guess.
Yeah. So that was Gabby, our queen, and, like, it was a good storyline. Mm-hmm. And I didn't mind more of David, and I can conclude that I think he is attractive, not hot, in the right light.
He's all right.
Yeah.
I think he's all right. Yeah.
He's aight.
He's aight. Like, I don't know.
He's like the hot guy's friend.
Yeah. I liked her story in this episode because I thought it moved a little better and it was funny. Like,
it was funny.
This made me laugh out loud. When she started laughing, I was laughing.
I loved the group therapy.
Me too.
Like, yes.
Yeah.
I was like, coming for them.
So this was, like, probably one of the more funnier storylines we've ever seen. That actually worked.
Yeah.
Because they try to be funny.
They try. It never works. Next, we can talk about Lynette.
Okay.
Or would you prefer, Breeze is kind of in depth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As we talked about, the beginning of this episode involved Lynette pimping Nina out to get her to relax. I mean, Nina was a willing
participant.
Yeah, she was fine. But the next day at work, like we said, she runs into Nina. Nina's in her same clothes. And she's, like, feeling better. She's vibing. She's more positive. I don't know, Julia, you work in marketing. Is this what it's like? Is this how everybody acts all the time?
I mean.
So, basically, like, Nina starts, like, asking her repeatedly, like, every night, let's go out, let's go
literally
out.
Literally, like, at the end, we find out she's been to this bar 5 times that week.
Yeah, and she's, like, making Lynette, like, miss out on stuff with her kids.
And she threatens her.
Yeah.
And is, like, if you don't come, like, I might just have to move you off of the account. And it's, like, whoa,
yeah,
okay, lady.
Like, straight up threatening her career. But, like, Lynette, at first Lynette tries to get her to just pick somebody else, but she's like, no, you're non-threatening because you're married.
Well, yeah, and at first it's like, because you're not hot.
Yeah.
Is the vibe.
And so Lynette, like, cancels on her kids, like, repeatedly. Like, they're supposed to have pizza night.
I'm like, what does Tom think of this? I was really wondering.
I would have liked a little of Tom.
I would have wanted, like, a conversation about, like, what the fuck is going on. You come home at, like, 11 every night.
And you're out, you smell like liquor.
Yeah, this looked like, these places looked, I have to give it to whoever chose these locations, they looked like places that you come home from smelling like liquor.
Yeah.
Like vodka.
And even if you're not drinking, someone just sweat
on
you.
Yeah, it's just like you just walked in there and you're like, I smell like shit now. Like,
yeah. So after about a week of this, I guess, she, like, some guy finally hits on her, and Lynette gets all offended, and he's just like, well, what do you expect? You're at a fucking pickup bar. Like, you've been here every day. Like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, that's fair. Fair enough.
Fair.
But she's like, okay. So, hearkening back to Nina not being threatened by Lynette, Lynette decides to go all out. She, like, shoves her boobs up, tousles her hair a little bit.
Dude, this, I was living for this Lynette.
I was like, okay.
I was like, dang, when can we hit the club?
So she starts, like, fucking competing with Nina, and she goes insane, does a bunch of shots.
She fucking wins, is what we can say.
She dances on top of the bar. Like, she's a good time.
She, like, twerks. I know it. I feel like Lynette is twerking, OMG.
Yeah. Like, and so Nina, like, sits in the corner all upset. And that's literally, like, kind of how it ends, though.
Like, Lynette even, like, rubs it in her face. And she comes over and she's like, aren't you going to get out there? And Nina's like, I don't really feel like it. And I'm like, this is going to come back to, I know it's going to come back to bite Lynette in the butt. I feel it in my bones. But, like, I love that she did it.
It's, yeah, I love it too. It's funny though, because the way they end it, it's kind of ambiguous. Like, is this going to come back or is this just the end of the storyline?
It could be. You never know with Desperate Housewives, I've learned.
Low key, yeah, you don't know.
You have no idea. This could be the one off, or like, I just feel like Nina will come back. She's been in like a couple episodes so far. Mm-hmm. I feel like she could keep coming back.
Oh, I think like Nina for sure. I guess I just meant like the continuation of like her being upset.
Oh, yeah, I think it'll be a huge issue. That's my theory.
Okay.
Yeah. That's my theory.
I mean, I thought Lynette was hot. I think she handled this well. I think I liked the idea of, like, she thought she solved her problem and it just created a whole new problem for her.
I didn't know how hot Lynette was until that moment. I was like, dang.
Yeah, no, I really actually liked her story. So far, I've actually liked everyone's storylines.
Yeah, now that we're, like, talking about it more, yeah, there's none that I truly hate.
Yeah. Last but not least, not last actually, but last of our four main ladies.
Yeah, Miss Bree. Bree Vandekamp.
Yes, ma'am. Our beautiful Bree. She,
yeah.
So we see her just at the police station with her lawyer who looks like he's 12. And it was weird.
He's very young looking. Yeah. Like, yeah, I didn't realize.
It just threw me off. His voice was super high too, but she's basically threatening the police because they still haven't released Rex's body. As we remember a couple episodes ago, they dug him up.
Yeah.
And she threatens to, like, sue them. And she's like, you know, my husband left me all this money. He was very successful. Like, I could take the time to sue you guys. Like, I don't give a fuck. And they're, like, at first, like, one of the detectives is, like, kind of giving her shit. But then the other one, who's kind of, like, the main one that we've seen more, he decides, like, to play, like, the good cop card, I guess.
Yeah.
So he releases Rex's body so she can bury him again. And they're like, well, let us just, like, put him back the way we found him. And she's like, fuck no. She's like, release him in my care. I'm going to handle it. That's kind of where that, like, part ends, basically. She leaves.
She's like, feeling thank triumphant. You, Mr. Barton, I think his name is. Yeah, she's like, thank you so much. Like, she's overly kind. She's like, you're a true gentleman. Yeah, she calls him a true gentleman.
Yeah.
And, like, it's just the overemphasis on, like, how grateful she is to this kind of douchebag cop guy.
Yeah. So then, like, she's with the girls and she basically asks them, like, can you guys be a part of this, like, reburial process?
Yeah, they're at poker. I'm glad we revived the poker. Lynette is missing because now she has a job.
Yeah.
And Edie is there at her place. And I loved that Edie was like, no. Okay, all the, like, Susan and Gabby were like, oh, yeah, sure, of course. And then Edie's just quiet per usual. And, like, Bree gets up and Susan's like, what the fuck, Edie? And she's like, Bree says she's going to read a poem. Like, no. And then Susan's like, you have to go. And then she agrees to go. But it was cute.
So, yeah, they basically, Edie reluctantly finally agrees to go. Yeah. So they're all going to go to this. That's about where that scene ends. And then the next thing we see is her, like, getting Rex's body. And, like, this weird extra is like, oh, I forgot the paperwork.
I noted that. I was like, he has to go get paperwork?
It was so dry and, like, delivered. Like, I'm like, is this... Are we supposed to notice this? Like, what's happening?
She's just, like, waiting. Okay. The whole thing is she's waiting in this room with a dead body, like, for this random dude who never comes back.
No,
never comes
I thought, back. Like, the way he ate up that scenery. But basically, like, she's waiting for his body to be, like, put in the hearse or whatever the fuck. And this detective shows up again. And he's, like, being nice, but basically insinuates that he knows that, like, she poisoned Rex. And she's
well,
like, what
yeah,
the fuck?
She's like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. And she's like, what the fuck? And he's like, well, you know, he shows her the note.
Yeah,
that
he's like,
Rex
the
wrote.
Card the doctor thinks that you killed him.
Yeah.
And he's like, of course the doctor wants to blame anybody because he died in his care. Like, duh.
And that's when he shows her the note, which, as we all, or maybe don't remember, it says, Bree, I understand and I forgive you. So Bree is, like, shook by this. She has, like, a mental breakdown. I didn't realize, I guess I'd forgot that she hadn't seen this note
well,
yet.
Yeah, she does a calm, like, Bree thing, and she's like, I gotta go. I have things to take care of.
Yeah.
And she tries to roll out the body, and she makes him undo the brake on it, and then he is still, like, being bad cop and is like, your husband, you owe your husband the truth. Like, a judge will understand if you, like, killed him. Like, infidelity.
He brings up the infidelity, and all that.
So on the way out, as she pushes the body, he's, like, saying shit to her.
Yeah. And so then, like, this reburial service turns more into a, like, bury that motherfucker
This was service. Wild.
And they, like, show up and Bree, like, Rex is not in the family plot anymore.
She moved his body.
She freaks the fuck out. And she's like, if you think I'm going to, like, what did she say exactly? She says, like, if you think I'm going to be next to someone for eternity who thought I was a murderer, like, you're crazy.
Yeah.
And she then, like, she, it's her literally ends with veins, her throwing.
Like, okay, but you can see she's screaming because she's like, Rex thinks, like, she tells the girl, she's like, Rex thinks I murdered him. And they're like, what? Mm-hmm. And she's like, how could anybody think I was a murderer? The note that he showed me, the note says, I forgive you. What do I have to be forgiven for? And she's like screaming. Mm-hmm. And Edie's like, well, maybe it was for something else. She's like, I have nothing to be forgiven for. Yeah. I'm a perfect wife. And you can see, like, her fate, like, acting Marsha Cross. Love she you.
Popped off.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, and then they, after she screams, these gardeners are, like, noticing. And Susan's like, we're just remarrying somebody. And they walk over to the corner of this site where Rex is now buried, and she throws the ring in.
She fucking throws that.
And Gabby's like, are you going to regret it? And Bree's like, fuck no.
Yeah, no. Bree's like, whatever the fuck. This motherfucker put me through hell. He got himself poisoned. I don't give a fuck. He's crazy.
I said, everyone is scared. Everyone. She is screaming. And she's like, I do not understand. And I do not forgive.
Yeah, like, no. She's fucking pissed.
It was wild.
I liked it, though. She took back some of her power. I liked it.
Yeah. So that was fucking nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Loved it. It escalated. We got some acting chops. Where we didn't get any acting chops was with the Applewhites. It was not very intriguing, and I feel bored now. I feel bored.
Yeah.
The Applewhites, they're back. And Betty, the mom, is sorting through mail to find a letter. Or to find, I don't know. She's just sorting through mail, and she's like, Zach Young. She walks this little letter over to the Young's house.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, like, a box of mail there that, like, what's happening with the house? Both everybody's missing or dead. Like, why is nobody in the town, like, should we do something about this property?
Mm-hmm.
Like, whatever. So I guess the house is just sitting there waiting for their return. And then she goes over to Edie's after that. And Edie's wearing, like, basically lingerie, I noticed.
Yeah.
And she's like, I'll go get your mail. I have some of your stuff. There's, like, something on TV. And we've seen it a couple times throughout the episode. And it's a news story about some chick in Chicago that was murdered, and they found the murderer.
Yeah.
And while Edie's upstairs, Betty turns up the volume, and we realize that it has something to do with her because she mm-hmm. jets home, and Edie's like, where'd you go?
Yeah.
And then at home, Betty, later we see Betty making a list or like just at the table writing something with, like, dish gloves on.
Yeah.
And you're like, what? And then a timer goes off and she walks the food down to their prisoner, which we learn is not a sex slave. It's just a child that they are treating horribly. It's like not a child. He's a mentally handicapped family adult. Member, yeah. I assume.
Probably stunted, like, mentally.
Yeah, and they're keeping him in the basement with no windows and, like, feeding him twice a day. And, like, we get the gist of it, as I'll tell you. So it's a guy that is mentally handicapped. Mm-hmm. Apparently he killed a girl named Melanie Foster. And Betty's, like, talking to him, and she's like, until you accept responsibility for what happened, like, you know I can't let you out of this dungeon. And then Matthew comes downstairs in a tank top looking pretty ripped. And mm-hmm. he sees the weird, it's a letter we learned that Betty was writing. And it says, we know who killed Melanie. And it's not the guy you arrested. And he's like, what the hell? And she's like, he starts yelling. And she's like, I'll be RB. And she goes upstairs to talk to Matt. They get in an argument about it. She's like, the police need to know the truth. And this is, like, Matt's like, no, like, this is our chance. I don't know what the hell happened, but apparently they're escaping it. And she's like, we can't let an innocent man go to jail. And then she's like, fine. Then, like, he says this to his mom. Call 911, tell them we have a killer in the basement. And she's like, he was confused. He didn't know. And Matt's like, he knew more than you think. And it's like this whole thing. And then the mentally handicapped child, like, hears this and, like, is scared because they're talking about how they're going to execute him. And mm-hmm. if he goes to jail, and he, like, goes back downstairs to mm-hmm. the basement because he escaped because she didn't lock it well. Oh, his name's Caleb. And Then later we see that a cop is flagged down, and this chick is like, we have evidence. Like, there's this letter. They know about the axe. Like, so obviously she sent the letter. Mm-hmm. I still think this is very SVU vibes, because there are many episodes of SVU where there are just people being kept places.
Yeah, people being held hostage.
Like, not necessarily sexual, but, like, this kid is being held against his will.
Yeah.
And it's, like...
And he doesn't seem to fully understand what's even happening.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
I'm interested, but I'm not, like... on the edge of my seat, we could say.
No.
Now that I know more, I wanted them to do a bit more with this. Like, yeah. I feel a bit bored, yeah.
I think that's why it sucks, is, like, it just feels so disconnected. They're trying so hard to connect it with these, like, TV in the background moments.
Yes.
And, like, her going over with the mail to Edie was so, like...
Like, I want her to be integrated. I want her to be at, like, one of the powwows. I want them to be, like, come to poker.
And none of the women, like, care about her.
No, why aren't they friends with her?
They don't talk to her about nothing.
They just take piano lessons for her and get her to play organ at their funerals.
We're like, 5 episodes in, and, like, this feels like 2 separate shows.
Well, there was an episode she was completely missing. Like, yeah. This family. I'm just like, I want Matt and Danielle to date. Like, I want him to be, like, advocating for... I want there to be, like, integration. There's not. That brings us to our outro, Mary Alice Young, Words of Wisdom. That's really what they are, words of wisdom. Everyone wants someone to depend on.
Yeah.
Be they faithful friends, determined advocates, or a loving family. But occasionally in life, the people we thought would be there for us leave. And if this happens, it's amazing the lengths we will go to get them back. And we see that the mail box that was full in front of the Young's house is empty now. And we see Paul Young's veiny, muscular hand opening mail, and we see Paul Young, and we're like, what?
He's fucking back.
Paul's back, baby.
So somehow, like, the mystery from last season is more intriguing than the one from this season.
Still stringing me along. Yeah. I'm like, Paul, I've been asking every episode, I'm like, where's Paul?
Yeah,
where, like, we just left that on a dead end. So Zach's in motherfucking Utah, Paul's just right at home.
Yeah.
So I, like, after our recap, feel, like, more enlightened about it. So fuck Mary Kill. I'm going to choose to fuck the lawyer this time.
Okay.
Last time I didn't. I fucked Tom, I want to say.
Yeah,
but I have to give it to the lawyer that I do deem attractive now in the right light.
Okay.
I'm gonna marry Lynette. I think she was so fun and flirty and fabulous. Okay. And I liked seeing the different side of her. I like that she took command in the situation and, like, just handled things. And for me, I was like, dang, she'd be tight to hang out with forever.
Yeah.
Like, this is a time. If I forgot about the imaginary friendship, like, if that never happened, like, we could move on. But yeah, I'll marry her this episode.
Okay.
This Lynette. And then this Lynette, I will marry. I'm going to kill that extra because he was completely useless.
It was, like, just so big. Like, I was like, why is he delivering this line like this?
And that is, like, for sure on his reel to this day, like, that he sent that to agents. Like, shit.
I guess they needed a reason why she'd be just sitting there, but...
I don't know. I kill him. He was so useless, so... I didn't all
they
had to,
they didn't even need him. They could have just had Bree in there, and the cop walks in and goes, oh, like, you're still here. And she's like, oh, I'm just waiting for the hurt. Like, there's so many
or
things
he
they could have
released the body. He could have just walked out with the body. It was so weird.
Bizarre.
Okay, your turn.
Oof. Fuck, marry, kill. I'm gonna... Oh, shit. Ah! I'm gonna marry Lynette as well. I love Lynette. I liked Lynette a lot in this episode.
Lynette killed it this episode.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to... I'm gonna fuck Bree. I kind of liked her little outburst at the end. I like how she took back some of her power.
Unhinged.
I like how she's not bowing down to the memory of Rex. I kind of like that she finally knows about this note, because it's, like, giving her some sort of, like, sense of what's happening around her.
Yeah.
And I like that she got mad. She deserves to get mad. And then kill. I'm probably going to kill... I was going to say Rex, but he's already dead.
I know. I kind of thought that too. And I was like, wait a minute.
I guess I'll kill Lonnie because I really...
Oh, my God.
I did not Lonnie. Like that he tried to kiss Lynette. Like, that was very, very upsetting to me.
Yeah.
So that's my fuck, marry, kill. And then Housewife of the Week, I want to give it to Lynette.
Lynette.
Yeah,
I knew like, that.
Easy peasy.
In my notes, as she was twerking on the bar, I was like, yeah. Lynette. She like... Okay, although she wasn't maybe mom number one that week, she fucking put things on the line for her job to provide for her
family.
She
was trying to be mom of the week.
Yeah, she needed to keep that job because she's the sole provider at this point.
Yeah.
And she also wing-womaned the shit out of a girl that was an asshole to her professionally and personally.
Yeah, no.
Called her not hot, basically.
Yeah.
And I'm like, she still went to the club for her.
Yeah.
She was still getting men. And then... To do that bathroom transformation took talent. Like,
I was impressed.
You don't know how many times I've been butt-ass ugly places and I'm there to no repair. Like, Lynette was looking, like, so frumpy and just went into the bathroom and was like, snip, snip, hair tossle. Like, I'm hot. I have never had that magic power.
I don't have it. If my hair's bad, it's just bad.
I've just been places, like, I so many memories of just me, like, always in the wrong attire. Like, this is a thing in my life. Like, I've shown up a lot of places, like, in like, the wrong attire.
Oh,
like,
no.
Just looking like shit. Like, thinking it was really casual. And then, like, everybody's looking hot. And I'm like, fuck.
Yeah, you're like, all right, I'm going home.
Yeah, then I go to the bathroom. I'm like, oh, like, fix this. And I just go to the bathroom and, like, look at myself. And I'm like, okay.
You're like, I don't have any options.
I'm like, I don't have like a makeup bag. I don't have shit. Like, yeah. My hair looks like shit. Like, yeah. So that's a constant like thread throughout my life. So yeah, I think Lynette gets housewife. Now for our Apple ratings, which I think, I don't know, might be different than I thought it would be.
Okay. I have my rating.
Okay.
Yeah.
3, 2, 1, 4.5. Okay.
I almost went 4.5 and I was worried I was overshooting
it. It was a bit high. Yeah, well, after talking about it, like...
Before we started talking about it, I was down to give this episode, like, 3.75.
Well, we were so disappointed with ep 4. Yeah. Like, I was a bit worried about where we were heading.
I liked this episode a lot. I think that it took the bad parts of last episode, got rid of them, turned it around. I think... This episode was fun. Honestly, the only part I didn't love was the apple whites. Like, it's like, I don't know.
I didn't love them, but I didn't hate them.
I didn't hate it, but I just was kind of like...
I was bored.
Yeah, like I was waiting for the scene to end.
Like, all right, like...
I like the setup that Paul's back. That's a little bit of a twist.
I'm so excited, you guys, and I don't know why, but I just feel like something is missing with Paul being... Oh, my God, I hope he wears the sweater again. Sweater
Fingers
Paul.
Crossed. But yeah, overall, like I liked everybody had a good story. I think it was interesting. I was intrigued the whole episode. It was funny. Like there are really funny moments. There were some, you know, pretty intense moments. I think they balanced the dramedy very well.
Bree's like neck veins like did it for me. She like went off.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was high for me. Like same reasons. I felt pretty much exactly the same. Apple whites just didn't do it for me. Lynette, like, I just never had so much love for Lynette. Gabby was funny as fuck. Like, I liked what they did with the scenes, too. Like, those scenes had opportunities to be flat, but, like, they just worked. Susan didn't annoy me completely. I liked her dynamic with Lonnie, so hopefully she just has a foil every time that could save her because I don't see her getting less annoying. But yeah, it just like was up there for me.
Yeah, it was a really good episode.
Yeah.
I liked it.
The gals were together at a certain point. I like when that happens too. They did the poker and the burial. So yeah. Well, we hope you felt that this redeemed the season. I don't know how you guys felt about episode 4. We were pretty down in the dumps about it.
I hope we get feedback on it because I'm curious.
Yeah, I want to know episode 5, like what's your vibe? Hit us up. We on Instagram, email. We have a website. However you want to get in touch with us, we do have a Twitter as well. Follow, like, subscribe. But
yeah.
We like hearing with you guys. This is meant to be a community of fandom, I guess. So check us out anywhere that suits you. Listen wherever suits you. We're available wherever you get your podcasts.
Yep.
And we'll be dropping season 2, episode 6 next Monday. Mm-hmm. So we're just going to keep going right along. And we're just excited about it. Hopefully super excited. It can only go up. Season 2 has not disappointed me whatsoever.
Yeah.
With all that being said, we'll leave you with our token words of wisdom to know your neighbors.
Know your neighbors.